Blog Talk Radio.
No, those switches I'm going to tape up because what's happening is keeps getting switched off. Welcome to Care to Read. You have your Omi Inca 7 calling in this evening to let you know that we are still on a program, and it's good to have you in the room this evening. We've been talking about pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. That's right, up from slavery. And there are many, many people who have made the transition from slavery into building institutions and building some of our greatest institutions like Howard University and others. And I'd like to let you know that the African Americans who were pulling themselves up by the bootstrap, they weren't doing it just to help themselves, but to help the community. And some of the things that they discovered while pulling themselves up by the bootstrap, they discovered that they had more knowledge with just a third grade education. That's right. A third grade education, ladies and gentlemen. And what I'd like for you to know most of all is that most of your African Americans who came on the scene and were building, they were coming into positions of working on the railroad, working with the union, teachers, writers, and various different specialists. And most of these people had to create universities right from the basement of their churches. And in creating these universities, sometimes it was rather difficult. And they felt that they should be able to integrate. And during this particular time, they often thought about what it would be like to integrate and have more efficient schools. But ladies and gentlemen, we were known to be in one schoolhouse. And the one schoolhouse concept was very, very important because it allowed us to use the African concept of cooperative learning. Cooperative learning, meaning that you share in the effort of working together. The African's concept was to start together. Starting together on a project meant that they would start together, help one another, and finish on time together. So no one was left behind. Now you got all kinds of programs nowadays talking about leaving children behind. That was unheard of with the cooperative learning and the African concept. You didn't leave an African child behind because the other children helped that child to advance itself. So why do we have so many children failing? If you teach one child well, then you would have taught the whole group because the other children were responsible for teaching their clusters. Cooperative learning. That's right, it came from Africa. It is not a concept of Europe or the Midwest or over in the Middle East or the Mediterranean. It is a concept from Africa that we borrow. However, African American children in the United States don't even know they're using this concept. They don't even know that they're a part of it. But the thing I wanted to alert you on is when Richard Wright came into place, and Maya Angelou singing I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings with her great poems, and Richard Wright talking about the black boy and his writing. There were many others that were writing. Zora Neale Hurston was writing. She was writing about African belief system, the Yoruba people. She was writing about Hanks. She wrote about African ancestorship, what it meant to go out to the graveyard, to appeal to a deceased loved one and inquire about their assistance and helping to speak to the living. That's right. Africans believed that you could still communicate with the deceased. They knew that through the melanin, the blackness in their skin, that their frequency levels would never die, and therefore their spirit still exists. So Zora Neale Hurston talked to relatives from the graveyard, and she spoke to them as if they were still alive. One of the greatest writers ever lived, as she composed plays to talk about ancient African history and to talk about Yoruba belief system, the Ifa belief system. And many of you have heard me in this classroom talk from the Ifa perspective. And I also believe that the comedic both goes hand in hand. And the comedic is no different from the Yoruba. They both are kin to each other. Why don't you learn something about an African religion and learn the customs and ways of life? Why don't you also understand that it's very important to connect yourself back to a culture or back to a tribe? Now, what I want to also let you know is that during this time, the Roaring Twenties, there were dancers, and boy were they dancers out there. There were singers. Lady Day was one of my favorites. She was also out there singing. And as some of you might know, that is my introduction song, Lady Sings the Blues. And when she got in trouble, she still continued to sing. Yes, she got in trouble, ladies and gentlemen, had a bout with a drug addiction, but nevertheless never left her skill and art. She sang throughout her career. And we know that some of our artists had troubled times because of drug addiction and because of lifestyles. But Lady Sing the Blues sang the sweetest song, the sweetest song. Lady sings the blues. She's got it bad. She feels so sad. Wants the world to know just what the blues is all about. The blues ain't nothing but a pain in your heart when you've got a bad start and you and your man has to part. The blues, she's got it bad, she feels so sad. And then there was the songs about tain't nobody business, tain't nobody's business, tain't nobody's business, child, if I do. And then she went on and sang The Man I Love. One day you come along, the man that I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man that I love. And then I look with him and say, I'll do my best to make him stay. Maybe he'll go one day, maybe today. Maybe not. Still, I know you'll come one day. Maybe Tuesday. And in a little while, we'll build a nest for two. Tell me who would ever roam. Or tell me why would you? Until then, I'll be dreaming of the man that I love. Oh, her songs were beautiful. Billie Dee sang those songs from her heart. And even in her triumphs, and even in her victories and her hurdles, she sang from her hurting heart and sang the songs the way that the Southerners used to sing those, right up from slavery, ladies and gentlemen. We had a whole caravan of dancers and entertainers, professional entertainers. This was during the mid-40s, right out of slavery, right after the Civil War as well. Now, we had a symbol of keep up the V sign. Roosevelt during this time was telling us to hold on, and We kept up the B sign because we know that there was a struggle here, stateside, and abroad. But Roosevelt promised he would put a chicken in everyone's pot. And everyone was strong in their conviction and commitment. And the civil rights movement was moving right on time. During that time, the NAACP was riding high with its accomplishments. But there still were the same struggles of racism throughout the South. Some of our people decided to uproot and move up north and to Canada to escape the racism that still was going on. Now, you would think because of all of the laws that they would not still be practicing racism. During this time, Susan B. Anthony, who was in a women's suffrage movement, along with the African Americans trying to get the right to vote, were working together on one accord. The white women were trying to get their selves established like we were trying to get the right to vote. Now, you must understand one thing, that through the civil rights movement, a large portion of us benefited from the efforts of the African American, and the Hispanics were one of them. Knowing that there were no Hispanics on the scene at this time, no other minorities were coming in shiploads like the African Americans who helped to build the railroads and to build a country and who rightfully deserved the civil rights substance that they got. However, because there were no Hispanics then, but now as they count the statistics and they look at the 11 billion African Americans that were brought here through process of slavery. Now, let me tell you how that little story went. Through that process, you had Africans selling their own people into slavery. Of course, they had chattel slavery and indentured servant slavery, where you could only get into slavery for three reasons: because of debt and because of war, and also because if an African came, he was automatically a slave. And at one time, skin color didn't count. You could be a slave if you were white, black, green, or indifferent. But the African slaves came on the scene when the Spaniards began to sell the slaves. And the church, the Catholic Church, sanctioned Africans to be slaves and brought as slaves, and they were supposed to protect all the slaves, the Catholic Church, except for the Africans. They got no help from the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church finally sanctioned the Africans to be a slave if they were brought here on those ships. Now, you say that some of our people were involved, Omi. Yes, some of our people were involved. They were playing around with showing off and boasting about having slaves, and they sold us into slavery, thinking we were going to be indentured servants. They had no idea to the extent of the slavery that we would suffer. And as we went on during this time, with the movement still strong, very little accomplishment happening, a lot of negotiation about integration. And the integration laws were very, very steep. Now, as I told you, there were 11 million African Americans here that came to America. Now, all of a sudden, when the Hispanics show up, later on, the Hispanics' numbers were small, probably 100,000. But yet, statistics show that their numbers have risen since that time. How could it be if we were 11 million strong? Something is wrong. So how do we decipher them being the newest minority when, in fact, most of them came over as immigrants and their numbers were smaller? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to get it twisted. Many people have been prospering off the backs of African Americans. They've been prospering off our backs, and we know it and they know it. But our children must know it. But we must stand strong because we're up from slavery now. And now is the time to recreate our institutions and sanction our schools. That's right, assist and aid in developing our communities and our schools. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to be a part of indicating the way of life and a cultural way of life for your African schools and communities. And I want you to be up on things. So go out and do a little homework and read up on the Roaring Twenties and on the Renaissance after the slaves were up from slavery. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been great listeners, and I thank you for listening in, and I do hope you'll come back and join us. We'll be back again on Friday. Let's see. We'll be back on Friday, and we'll be bringing it to you strong. Now, there's some technical things going on, and I'm just going to tell you about it. They've been messing with the technical process of getting on, and it's been very difficult, but I'll get around it. Because I'm clever. Dress ain't cost me but $2 or $7. You know I'm clever. Now, I'm saying that to let you know, whoever has been tampering with things, I'm not worried. I'm going to find a way to get on here and to meet my people and greet them and bring them the word. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, you have a great evening, and I'll see you tomorrow. And on that note, I want to say, oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all. See you here tomorrow. Well, I'll see you here Friday, same time. Have a great evening.